Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. This is week 2, day 5 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 4, 14 through 23. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Darren Hibbs. And before we jump into today, I want to encourage those of you, if you feel led, if you've been blessed by this podcast, we have a Patreon page where you can go and support us. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Would you speak to us and fill us and touch us with the knowledge of you? We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Imagine just how great this moment must have felt. I mean, they have been cruelly oppressed by people who have chariots in the area. I mean, they're bringing a type of Roman peace, probably, where they've taken over, and to make sure that the people don't try and rebel, they are just crushing them. Every small act of rebellion, they are just brutal against these people. Imagine 18 years of that, this long period of time, and then it's over in a moment, and the Lord gives you this great victory. But remember, it always comes through repentance. It's always repentance that the Lord responds to. It's the people crying out, coming back to the one true God and crying out to him. That's when the Lord responds. He didn't respond in year 5 or 6 when they're just kind of tired of it. He responds when they cry out in repentance. Verse 16, Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all of Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. Now, this is a great moment where, you know, you've got all of these alliances and it's going to turn on you. I mean, how terrible when those that you trust are the ones that actually kill you. And that's what we're going to see is going to happen here. Continuing on. Verse 19, "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone there, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Okay, so, I mean, how terrible for him. I mean, according to the scripture here, what he had done to the Israelites, he had it coming. And Deborah had already prophesied that a woman was going to kill Sisera, that Barak was not going to do it. And it's this woman, Jael, who actually does it. But she lures him in, says, "Hey, you know, we have an alliance. Come in here. I'll hide you." She hides him under the cloth for a while. And then, you know, she lures him in and makes him feel safe by getting him some milk and by taking care of him. And so he actually lets his guard down and he falls asleep. He's like, listen, I'm so exhausted. Just let me sleep for a while. If you can just guard the tent, and if anybody comes by, just don't tell them I'm here." And she's like, "Fine, go ahead." And he falls asleep. He lets his guard down. He goes to sleep, and she takes this tent peg. I mean, you know, a metal spike, and or maybe a wooden spike, I don't know, and a hammer. And she goes over to him while he's asleep. And imagine the there must have been a lot of butterflies in her stomach to have done this in the first place. I mean, imagine if he wakes up right before she hits the hammer. You know, this is going to go very poorly for her. But she's got the bravery. She's got something in her where she goes over and she takes that thing. She drives it through his head. I mean, to kill him. I mean, how morbid and gross. But I mean, you know, she is the one that the Lord is going to give this personal victory, at least in dispatching Sisera, as opposed to Barak, who is just a few footsteps away from doing this himself. All right, continuing on verse 22. Just then Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. Come, she said, I will show you the man you're looking for. So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed them. So we see here that this victory was not completely won in one day against the Canaanites that were attacking Israelites. They defeated this army, but they didn't. They won the battle. They didn't win the war. It was some time and a lot of fighting to go before they overcame the Canaanites in this particular this conflict. But this is a huge, huge victory. All 900 or whatever these chariots are subdued. This is a massive army. I mean, 900 chariots at this point in history. This is quite possibly, if not the greatest, one of the greatest, certainly, armies in human history up to this point. And the Lord gives this ragtag bunch of Israelites the victory in this case. And because Barak didn't like jump at the opportunity to lead the battle, Deborah's prophecy that, hey, the Lord's going to give Sisera into a woman's hands came true. Barak was in pursuit. And imagine how Barak must have felt when he shows up just moments after Sisera dies at the hands of the woman. He's like thinking, oh my gosh, Deborah was absolutely right. I mean, this woman's words did not fall to the ground. It happened just like she said. Imagine the wonder that must have filled his heart. He's kind of probably a little bit irritated. He's like, oh man, I really wanted to kill this guy myself. But imagine the wonder that must have filled his heart that like, oh my gosh, Deborah told me this was going to happen. And it's exactly what happens when he gets there. That's the end of our passage for today. We're going to jump into a song by Deborah. And it's going to be an interesting change of pace for the book of Judges, because this is the only time in the book of Judges this is going to happen. But any time in scripture where there is a song, and that song is written, especially outside of the book of Psalms, anytime there's a psalm that's written down in its entirety, it's really important for us to pay attention to. And I want to encourage you, as you read through the book of Judges 10 times in 10 weeks, it can be very easy to gloss over this. Lord knows I have glossed over the song of Deborah many times. But whenever scripture does put something like this, where it's a break from the normal narrative and put something like this in there, it's really important for us to know, and it's really important for us to pay attention to. So we're going to read the Song of Deborah very carefully starting next week. But that's all we have for today. For the 10-week Bible study, I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.